Oh, yes. And I know all of us can say amen to that song if it had not been for the goodness of the Lord. What shape would we be in today? Amen. But God has been good. Amen. Well, He is good. You see, He hasn't been anything that He is not. God is, and everything about Him is infinite, never changes. God could never love you more than He does right now, Victor. Nor could He ever love you less than He does right now. Because God's love is infinite, unchanging, immutable. It's the same. He could not love you more, and He could not love you less than He does right now. Amen. Now He might be more pleased with you at some point in time than He may be at another point in time. But He cannot love you more or less, because God's love is infinite. Well, it's a good thing to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. In fact, it's a healthy thing to be in God's house. I don't know if you happened to tune on the television this morning. I rarely ever turn television on Sunday morning. But this time I turned it on just in time to hear a little bit of a program called Spirituality and Health. Spirituality and Health on CNN, of all places. And it said that the person who attends church is from 4 to 7 times less likely to have a heart attack than the person who does not go to church. Now, isn't that interesting? It's healthy to go to the Lord's house. It's a healthy thing. And if you add to that prayer, it even goes up beyond those figures. It's healthy to pray. It's healthy to attend the house of the Lord. And I think it's even healthier when you do it on a regular basis. Amen. When you come to church, every time the doors are open, it's a good thing to be in the Lord's house. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank You for this congregation of people who are present in Your house today. Not only is it a healthy thing for the body, it's certainly a healthy thing for our spirit. Because I know, Lord, as I've studied Your Word, that those who come to church often express their faith in that very way, by simply attending the house of the Lord and by giving of their tithes and offerings and by giving of their voice in worship and praise to God. They are doing the very thing that You want them to do most. And Lord, I just ask You to continue to favor Your people who have committed themselves to showing their faith in these very evident and tangible ways. And I pray this in the name of Jesus and for the glory of God. Amen. Amen. In business, it seems to be a good thing to take inventory of what one has and what is needed to do business in a new year. And usually they do that at this time of year. They take inventory. They begin to look at their assets and they begin to see the pluses and the minuses and the things that we have that are good and the things that we have perhaps that are useless and have little value. And consequently, that's why you often see year-end sales. The business wants to move out a lot of stock that that maybe didn't move at the regular price and it would move at a lower price. And I have a friend in business who doesn't have the sales in his in the main store. He takes all of this kind of thing to a totally different store in a different location downtown in the heart of the city, and there he gives a big sale of those things that last week they might have been paying $100 for. They might pay $25 for it this week. So inventory is a good thing for business, and I am convinced that it's also a good thing for a church. And this last, not this past week, because we were doing a lot of Christmas, but the week before that, I was thinking about an inventory here for this church. And so as we close out the year, it does seem to be a reasonable and rational thing to take inventory. We need to discover the good and right things we presently have with which we will move into the new year. And as I thought about these things, it didn't take me long to compile a list of 25 assets which have value that only God can calculate. Because He sees everything, and He knows how to calculate the worth of various kinds of things that I may see and I may recognize, but I may not have an understanding of their true value. So I listed 25 different things that we have, that we presently have here at University Park Church. 25 different right things. I'm not interested in talking about the things we don't have. I'd rather talk about what we do have. Amen. Because that's what we're going into the year 2004 with. We're going into the year with the things we have, and I believe that there are many, at least I listed just very quickly, 25 different things, different assets that we have as a body of believers. I want to share them with you this morning. I'll just share them one by one. Number one, we have a truly dedicated secretarial staff who works hard. Now, I'm not listing all these things in order of importance, because I don't know if the secretarial staff is the most important thing in the church, but they are important. Our secretaries are important, and they do a great job, and they're dedicated. They not only put in their hours, they put in extra hours when they need to. And I believe they do this because they want to see the mission of the church accomplished. Secretarial staff, any of our secretarial staff that are here, just stand up. I want you to recognize some of our secretarial staff that is here this morning. Others were in the early service. Amen. We appreciate these people and the work they do. Not only do we have a truly dedicated secretarial staff, we have a unified biblical eldership which is gaining wisdom, faith, and knowledge day by day that I'm convinced will help us to be better equipped to do the work of the ministry and serve in the capacity that God has placed us in. We have a dedicated group of leaders in our eldership. I want the eldership that are present, stand up on your feet. Amen. These are the people that has been chosen, hallelujah, by the Lord and are serving. God knows we're gaining wisdom, and God knows we need more of it all the time. We need greater faith, amen, and greater knowledge to do the work that we have been commissioned to do. And God is granting that day by day as we walk with Him and as we talk with Him. Number three, we have a wonderful youth ministry with capable leadership, with some great plans for the new year that I won't go into, but I want all of our young people, all of our youth department, including leadership there, stand up. All of you young people and the leadership in that group. Young people, stand up as well. Amen. There's a lot of them in the early service, and several of them here, and some don't want to stand. They don't want to be recognized. I think the fourth thing we have is the best choir, musicians, soloists, praise and worship leaders, and ministers of music that any church could possibly have. I want all of our musicians, members of our choir, and all of our soloists, all of our people involved in music ministry, stand up. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And number five, we have the finest children's program and leadership team that a church could possibly have. All of our children's department, all of the teachers and workers in the children's department with Brother Bo, all of our children that are in the service, stand up with your leadership. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Number six, we have, and I don't have the exact number here, so I didn't just say a number, but we have a lot of dedicated care leaders, assistant care leaders, hosts home, that I've looked to as the strength of this ministry, and I'd like for everyone in care ministry, stand up on your feet. I'd like to recognize you this morning. Hallelujah. Here are care leaders. Amen. Leadership. Amen. Praise God for all of these leaders. Then, number seven, I believe we have the best group of ushers and greeters I've ever known. They're friendly, loving, kind, helpful, considerate, patient. They're good people. I want all of our ushers and greeters to stand up. Amen. All of our ushers and our greeters. Hallelujah. Well, there was a lot more of them in the early service than in this service. Then we also have a strong group of prayers who meet every morning except Saturday and Sunday at 6 a.m. and a ladies' prayer group that meets on Tuesday at 10 o'clock a.m. for prayer. All of those people that are part of the prayer ministry of this church, stand right. If I'm talking about not just leaders, I'm talking about you're part of the prayer ministry of the church and you're meeting with one of these groups, just stand up on your feet. I want to recognize you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. What a great group. Then we also, number nine, we have an effective ladies ministry with capable leadership who conduct special ladies classes and special meetings for our ladies. All of you that are involved in ladies ministry, will you stand up? You're involved in ladies ministry in some capacity. Amen. God bless your heart. Amen. Ladies ministry also is led by most of you know Joyce Foles, and also connected with that is our benevolence ministry that gives out $2,000 per month to people who are in need of help. And then not only that, but are connected with, CCA, or is that what they call it? Connected with that, we give money to that every month and are feeding a lot of people who would go hungry without the help of our ladies' ministry. We also have a wonderful, number 10, we have a wonderful singles ministry with excited leadership. I know that because I met with them at Jane Taylor's the other night. And I tell you, there's an excited group of singles, the older singles. We have also a group of college-age single people that meet together. All the people that are connected with the singles ministry in the church in any way, will you stand up on your feet? All right. Yeah, good group here this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you. Then we have a ministry. I didn't get this one this morning early, but I must have looked over this one. Not because it's not important, because it's very important. We have a ministry we call Married Without Regrets. And that ministry goes on It goes on every Sunday morning with classes for people who are married without regrets, and hopefully there are people who attend that are married with regrets. Maybe they'll get to the place where they're married without regrets. Those that are involved or have been involved in any way with that ministry, will you stand up this morning? We missed them. They were at 9 o'clock, and I didn't. Well, there's some people here anyway that are a part of that, and it's a great ministry of the church. We have a wonderful ministry of to the older people called Primetimers. And all of you that are a part of the Primetime ministry, I don't see Brother Dick here this morning, but all of you that are in that ministry or part of that ministry, will you stand up? Stand up. If you're in Primetimers, stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Amen. My wife even owned up to that. Then we have a wonderful advisory committee from the laity of the church that meets with the eldership once a month. And these are great times when we're able to discuss a lot of different matters and get advice and counsel from members of the congregation. And if you're a member of the advisory council, stand up. I want people to see who you are. There were several of them here in the earlier. Yeah, well, they're still here. All right. Bless the Lord. And there's another one or two that I think are not here, at least one. Then, along with these, we also have number 15. We now have a finance committee presently studying every aspect of the finance of the church and making recommendation to the eldership for action. If you're on the finance committee, I know they've already met at least once, maybe twice. If you're on that finance committee, will you stand up? Amen. Hallelujah. These are the people that are going to be making decisions about how the money that you give to the church or give to the Lord is going to be spent. We also have a missions committee who watch over our commitment to missions and keep in touch with our missionaries and do a great job. They meet on a regular basis, and I notice some of them are dressed for missions, and some of them are going to be going on missions trip. All the missions committee, stand up and be recognized this morning. Hallelujah. This is a great group, and they're doing a great job in handling our missions funds. Then we have a newly appointed membership committee that will begin functioning in January the 7th. They will be updating our membership role and studying ways to keep watch over our flock in a better way. If there are members of the membership committee here, I know my wife's one. Maybe she's the only one. No, over here's one. All right. We have some others. I know some others that are on that committee that were in the earlier service this morning, and they are going to be functioning to help us keep better track of our membership and hopefully just develop a way that we can find out when people are missing. It worries me a lot that sometimes we, after 2 or 3 months, we miss someone, just miss somebody, and should have missed them right away. The first week rather than the second or third or fourth or fifth week. And that disturbs me. And that's why we have appointed a membership committee to help us track and to help us to find these people and to know when they're not present. You know, I believe we have a command of the Lord to know our flock, And that shepherd, that good shepherd, he knew when there was one of the 100 sheep, which to me 100 represents 100%. And he knew that one of those sheep was missing. And we ought to have the same kind of concern for the sheep because we are shepherds. Amen. And the sheep ought to be watched over and cared for. And when one's gone, we ought to know it and ought to be concerned enough to see if we can do something about it. Amen. So I thank God for a membership committee that's going to begin functioning. Not only do we have membership committee, we have a brand new men's ministry. You heard Brother Steve talk about it a while ago, who will be having their first meeting, I believe, on January 17th. January the 17th. I'd like for every... Now listen, I'm appointing every man in the church to that ministry. So I want all the men to stand up, raise your hand, and take an oath. Well, we won't go quite that far. But I want all men who are on that committee and all men of the church to take your stand. I'd just like for people to see the men in this church. I want you to see the men in this house. There's some men here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Great group of men, young men and older men and in-between kind of men. And we want, listen, I want you to be a part of that men's ministry, because connected to that is a brand new ministry that you'll be involved in. It's a ministry to young boys called Royal Rangers, which will begin early in the spring, and this will work in cooperation with the men's ministry. A leadership is presently being put together with Dan Woodward, who has had a lot of experience in Royal Rangers. I know that we haven't got this going well yet, but you need to know who Dan is. Dan, just stand up. You can see he's the guy that's going to be heading up this thing. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Then number 19. Number 20. We have property here conservatively estimated to be worth at least $4 million, on which we owe about $150,000. Not on this building, but on the office building, we owe about $150,000. I think that's a pretty good word. Hallelujah. I like that. That we don't, and particularly when you consider that sometimes things don't go quite so well financially for a church as they may have gone at another point in time. And it's a wonderful thing to know that we don't have, and thanks to you and the efforts of Brother Jeff and his wife, thank God that the building is paid off. Hallelujah. That it's all paid off because you saw to that. Hallelujah. And Pastor Jeff saw to it that the money was paid on the building, and it made a great deal of difference. And right now we're going through a kind of a low place. But thank God we don't have a great big old payment hanging up over our head. Hallelujah. We've got some good things, is what I'm talking about. We've got some wonderful things through the efforts of a lot of people. Amen. Not only that, but on April the 18th, we launch 40 Days of Purpose, and the whole church will be involved in the mission to help our congregation find the purpose for which that the church was raised up. And they're going to begin to understand a lot about their personal lives through the ministry of Rick Warren and a book that he has written, The Purpose-Driven Life. Some of you, how many of you read that book already? Quite a few have read the book already. The rest of you, it'll be made available to you a lot cheaper than you bought yours, because we're getting ours for about $10 and something, and I think you have probably, if you bought yours in a bookstore, you've probably paid about $20 for your copy of that book. But we're, as a whole church, we're going to go through this together. All of our care ministry, our youth ministry, our children's ministry, everyone in the church is going to be involved in going through this book called The Purpose-Driven Life, and I believe you'll get a better picture of who you are and what your purpose in life is personally and what your involvement with the church needs to be. I told you it was healthy to attend church. I just got that off CNN, and since you don't believe anything else CNN puts on, you might not believe that, but it sounded pretty good. A doctor was saying it anyway. We have a new vision for 2004, which is more in 2004. Let's say that together. More in 2004. More what? More what? More love. More mercy. More patience. More grace. More dedication. More forgiveness. More outreach. More service. more power, more faith, more souls. Hallelujah. More in 2004. Let's say it again. More in 2004. Oh yes, I'm interested in numbers because numbers represent people. I'm very interested in numbers, but I'm also interested in not only quantity, I am interested in quality. And I believe these are the things that make a church great. Amen. It may be a wonderful church, but we need more mercy and patience and grace and dedication and forgiveness, outreach and service, more power and faith and more souls. We need all of that to make a great church. And I believe God wants to make this church a greater church. A greater church than it is. We have a new mission statement. That statement is here because He is. Serving because He did. Caring because He does. That's our new mission statement. Here because He is. Listen, I wouldn't want to be here if He wasn't here. Amen. I don't have any reason to be here. If He's not here, I don't want to be here. But I know He is here. Because He said, I'm not ever going to leave you. Hallelujah. I'm not ever going to leave you. So I know He is here. And we serve, or we're serving, because He did. He came into this world not to be served, but to serve. Amen. And all of us who know Him have that same heart, and our desire is to serve because He served, and then care because He does. This is called a caring church with a care ministry. Caring and relating everyone. That's the objective of this church. Amen. We do that because He does that kind of thing, because that's the way He really is. Then I can also report that we have, number 24, we have a family of more than 1,000 people to love and to be loved by. A family with which to work for the salvation of those who are lost right here in Fort Worth and around the world. What I'm trying to say is, when I took inventory, I found we had a lot of good things. Wonderful things. Things that sometimes you can lose sight of if you're not careful. You can lose sight of what you have and get focused on what you don't have. And some people tend to live in a negative way in life and are always seeing what is not there rather than seeing what is there. And I believe God would have us, as we move out of this year 2003 and into the new year 2004, to get our focus set on what we have and begin to live a life of thankfulness and gratefulness to God for what we presently have. Amen. I think it sounds, those 25 things sound pretty good to me. What do you think? Hallelujah. I'm going to praise God for that. I'm going to give Him the glory for that. But as I thought of these things, I also realize that it won't matter. None of these things make any difference unless we go into the new year with God's favor on our lives. Amen. Although these things are all good, they're positive, right things that we have, unless we have God's favor on our lives, all of these things will not make that much difference. Amen. So, it ought to be our objective as we come to the end of this year and look ahead to what's before us in the new year to position ourselves to have God's divine favor upon our lives. Because there are some things you cannot, I hope you will not want to take with you or to carry over into the new year. Amen. Because the very same thing that caused God, or that put God into a position where He could not give you special favor in your life. If it's carried into the new year, the same thing will prevent that, will prevent His blessing in the new year. So I have to look, and this morning as I was going back over these things, I begin to think of the things that I do not want to carry from this year into next year. Amen. Because I want God's special favor on my life. And you know what? I discovered some things that I don't want to take, baggage that I don't want to carry into the new year. Think about it for a minute. Does anyone else have any excess baggage that you need to leave in this year? Does anyone other than me have some excess baggage? Paul said, or the writer of the Hebrews says, lay it aside. 12th chapter of Hebrews, laying aside everything that's going to hinder our race. Because we're in a race. And you don't want a whole lot of extra weight when you're running a race if you expect to hold out for the entire year. And I want to complete the race of 2004. I want to finish strong. Amen? I want to finish it strong. And I don't know that I've finished 2003 all that strong. Because somewhere along the way, I picked up some excess baggage. Some stuff I don't need. And I've got to leave it in this year, 2003. And not carry it over into the new year. Is anybody else seeing anything? You can tell me going like this way. Yes, I have some things I need to leave in this year. You don't want to be too obvious about it now. I know I've spoken quite publicly. I've not told you what, and you're wondering, I'm sure, what are you going to leave? Well, I can let you know some things that I'm certain I'm going to leave in this year. I'm not going to carry with me. I am not going to carry offenses, even though I have been offended by some people at different times during this year. I'm not carrying those offenses into the new year. Amen. I don't believe in all of my life, since I've been in the ministry, that I've ever been accused of being a man without integrity. That offended me when somebody gave me that email, that I was not truthful, I had not told the truth, when I know I have spoken only the truth. Amen. Nothing but the truth. And will never, I'm too old to lie about things, and I have no reason to do it. Amen. There's just no reason for me to tell anything but the truth. Amen. Amen. But I've got to leave that. I've got to leave that offense. Amen. I just got to leave it behind. Because, in fact, I said in the early service, you know, I'm not going to answer emails that are negative in the new year. My wife said, praise God. She don't even know half of it. Because I don't tell my wife what happens or what people say about me. She might find out about it, because I want her to treat you just the same, regardless of how someone may have treated me. I want her to continue to love you. Because I do, in fact. I do, in spite of everything. But I'm not going to take anything over. I hope I'm speaking for the eldership when I say this. We're not carrying anything into the new year. Any offenses are going to be left behind. Any criticism will be ignored. Amen. I will not answer, because Jesus, when He was before the council, when he was in the court, when they made an accusation, he answered not a word. And to those that crucified him, when he prayed, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Amen. And I want to be that of that same spirit where I can say, Father, forgive them. They're frustrated and confused and angry at a situation they don't know how to deal with. And I will not be offended by what someone says or does. But I'm not going to carry it into the new year. Have you been reminded of something that needs to be left? Go like this. I've been reminded. I know some things that I've got to leave here. Listen, if we can leave those things here on this last Sunday of 2003, if we can leave those things here, we can move into 2004 with God's guarantee of His special favor upon our lives. Because God will bless what He approves and cannot bless what He does not approve. I've struggled with that statement some. One time I think, maybe that's not a correct statement. And I've looked at it from every side. And I am convinced this morning that God will not, in fact, cannot bless what He does not approve. To do so is to encourage delinquency. And God is not going to encourage my delinquency by blessing my life, even though I do not care what He thinks. Oh, it's getting rather somber in here right now. But it can be fixed. That's the good part. It can be fixed. And we can get it fixed this morning, so that we don't have to go into a new year with anything that will keep God or cause God to not, or to in fact enable God in a sense. Enable Him, will bring Him to the place where He is not able to bless us. Oh, I want His blessing, don't you? And I'm determined. I'm going into 2004 positioned to receive His blessings. Can it be done? Absolutely. I can assure you this morning that you can, if you will bring before the Lord, if you will bring to Him those things that have already come to your mind, you bring them to the Lord and leave them with Him. Ask His forgiveness. Amen. Ask His forgiveness and you'll receive it. And I can declare absolution. Hallelujah. Yes. And that's what I'm going to do. I want you to stand all over this congregation. If something has come to your mind that you don't want to carry in to the new year, I want you to come right down here and stand. I think everybody nodded your head, so let's just come on down here. I just don't stand back. I think everybody was nodding their head. Yeah, there's some things here. There's some things that I don't want to carry into the new year. I don't want to do it. Amen. And we're going to deal with it this morning. Amen. You can deal with it this morning. You can deal with every matter. Come right on. Come up just as close as you can, because a lot of people here. Others are wondering whether they ought to be here or not. If you're wondering about it, you should be here. Amen. There's probably something there that needs to be dealt with. I know that you don't have to come here to deal with it. You can deal with it wherever you are. But I want to get it fixed. Do you? I think that's why you're here. I'm going to lead you in a prayer that I believe God allowed me to write this morning as I was thinking on this service. I usually pray extemporaneous prayers, but sometimes it's a good thing to write your prayers, to write it out, and to present it to the Lord. Amen. Sometimes it's good to make sure you covered everything that needs to be covered. And I felt like God gave me the prayer to pray for all of you this morning. Now, what I want you to do is listen carefully. Listen carefully to this prayer and say amen. Say amen as we go through this prayer. The thing that seems to touch your heart, just say, Lord, amen. It's my, so be it for me, Lord. So be it for me. So I want you to just shut your eyes and meditate on this prayer and agree with this prayer this morning. Now, Father, we come before you to repent of all our sins, those that are obvious and those that are secret. Because, Lord, sometimes we cover our sins to the point we're not even able to find them and see them ourselves. But, Lord, cleanse our hearts, as David prayed, from secret faults, secret sins that are hidden that we've forgotten about. Forgive us, O Lord, we pray. You said in your word that you will pardon anyone who will confess and forsake his sin. We need your pardon, Lord. Though we do not deserve it, we need it, we desire it, and we want it. We specifically ask forgiveness for the sin of unforgiveness. Because, Lord, sometimes we hold in our heart, and I've been guilty of holding offenses in my heart, and I ask forgiveness, O Lord. I ask you to forgive us of all bitterness, anger, wrath, and all selfishness and self-centeredness. Father, forgive us of the things we have said and the way we have acted that is not like Jesus. We repent of any rebellion against authority, all distrust, and for looking to ourselves for answers that only you can give. Deliver us, Lord, from self-trust. Some of us need to be healed in our emotions. We need deliverance from all demonic influences in our lives. Lord, we want to enter the new year with a clean and pure heart and pure spirit. Fill us with the spirit of holiness. Convict us when we do wrong so we can run to you for pardon. Fill our hearts with love for you and for one another. Guide our steps. Open the doors that should be opened and close the ones that need to be closed. May we become effective witnesses to those who are lost. Fill this church with serving saints and seeking sinners. And let us walk in the new year with a continual awareness of your presence. Help us to guard ourselves against the enemy who is bent on our destruction. Cover us, O Lord. Cover us with the blood of the eternal sacrifice that Jesus made in our behalf. And fill us to overflowing with your Holy Spirit. Because we believe, Lord, we believe that as we open our hearts and pray earnestly to you, confessing our sins, that you hear us and that you forgive us. And Lord, I pray for any matters that we fail to mention here this morning, things that we may have passed over that were not identified as anything that some of us, Lord, are guilty of. But Lord, for all of these matters, every one of these matters, and everything that different ones have personally confessed to you, we ask your forgiveness and your pardon. And now I want to declare to you on the basis of God's word, Jesus said to those who were his representatives, to them he said, whosoever sins you remit are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now, that simply means that upon the basis of your confession, the fact that you have identified yourself as having matters that you want to leave in the year 2003 and sins you have confessed in your heart and you've asked forgiveness, it's my business now to declare unto you that sin is remitted. I'm declaring absolution. that you have been cleansed, you have been purified because you have confessed your sin. And God is saying, through His servant who is presently speaking to you, God is saying, it's all forgiven. Hallelujah. It's all taken care of. And you can move into the new year with a clean slate. Hallelujah. With a clean slate. You don't have anything that you have to worry about going into the new year. Everything has been forgiven. And God has put every sin behind His back. And He will not remember them against you anymore. Now I have a mission for you. In the words of Saint Francis Assisi, in his words, I have this mission. His mission was, his words were, preach the gospel. If you have to, use words. I like that. Preach the gospel. If you have to, if it is necessary, he said, use words. Let your life be your sermon. Hallelujah. Now here's what's going to happen. I believe, though this is not the whole body that is present here this morning, we have a lot of people who are out of town and away for one reason or another on this last Sunday of the year. It's a holiday period and we understand that. Here's what I believe is going to happen in the new year. I believe we're going to see supernatural healings in response to the Word of God. We're going to have an increase in our faith. We're going to see a lot more people saved and brought into the kingdom of God because, as Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind. Philippians 3:13. Forgetting the things. Why don't we say that out loud? Forgetting the things that are behind. We just left them behind. When you leave here, you're leaving them behind. Forgetting the things that are behind. I'm turning and pressing forward into that place of God's blessing in my life. Hallelujah. I'm going to walk with Him every day of this new year. How about you? Amen. 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 Let's give Him praise. Hallelujah. 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 Now let's say it once. More in 2004. More in 2004. Hallelujah.